And that piece launches us directly into our regular Compass Radio segment here on the Jefferson Exchange. Once a month, we hear what it is like to live with mental illness. Our guides are the people of Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. It's built on the clubhouse model of community mental health care. It is a place where people with persistent mental illness come together to support each other and their shared place. This month, we hear Jenna's story. She tells of her issues with mental illness in this interview with Remington Jarvie of Compass House.
When I was 7 years old, my mom and I moved from Charleston, South Carolina to Medford, Oregon. And I've lived in the Rogue Valley now for approximately 50 years.
Your diagnosis is...
I have a whole slew of mental health diagnoses.
Do you want to talk about all of them or just one in particular?
Well, I can just list them. I'm bipolar 1, I've got complex PTSD, and I've been diagnosed now with mild cognitive impairment, and they're gonna test me again in 6 months and see. My mother had Alzheimer's, and so we're just keeping an eye on things because I do have some symptoms.
Was there like a time where you were thinking, am I struggling with something? And then the moment where like you went in and they officially diagnosed you with that?
Well, like I said, it started about 2 years ago, and I noticed it, you know, before anybody else did, because I was struggling with finding my words and stuff. But I tried to keep it on the down low. I was trying to cover. I still try to cover sometimes when I'm around people who don't know. But so many of my friends know now that I'm just like, oh, there I go again, you know, give me a minute. And usually, most of the time I can find the word, you know, that I'm looking for. I just have to, like, wait a minute.
So you said this kind of started 2 years ago?
Yeah, it kind of started with the symptoms 2 years ago. But this isn't really my mental health diagnosis.
Do you think of, like, pre-diagnosis life versus post-diagnosis life?
Yeah, there's a real big difference between the two. I pretty much knew my diagnosis before for years because, you know, I knew there's something wrong with me a long, long, long time ago, and I'm a reader. I'm a library person, so I pretty much had it pegged, but I didn't know what to do about it, and I wanted to act as normal as possible. I kept thinking I could just make myself be normal like other people, but I kept having issues with the mental illness popping up at inopportune times. In 2014, I'd gotten fired from a job because I was blowing up at work, and my mother had just died, and I was emotionally at sea, and so I was having temper tantrums at work. I got fired. After that, I went into a very deep depression and became suicidal. The PTSD was so bad that I was just like a walking trigger. It's stuff that had happened throughout my whole life that had never been resolved. I didn't make it into JCMH until I think it was April of 2014. But then I finally got an assessment, mental health assessment, and a diagnosis. And then that was the big, wonderful turning point of this whole deal, because then they got me hooked up with a wonderful therapist. And so I had the good fortune to have about three solid years with a specialized therapist who helps with severe trauma. And we did a lot of EMDR. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Eye movement desensitization reprocessing. So I rarely get triggered anymore. And if I do, it's nothing like what used to happen. I mean, it's like I'm really been healed a lot from what used to be a real problem.
So that's really great that you feel like you're far down a path of healing for that.
I do really well unless there's certain triggers. There's just certain triggers. I can go along for quite a while and be okay. And then, you know, like just recently I've had a couple of things that have really triggered me. And I'm like, you know, I talked to my therapist about it today and she was helpful. So things do still come up, but the quality of my life has improved dramatically. And I'm just so awesomely grateful for, you know, having the opportunity to get better and you know, it's been a kind of a jigsaw puzzle to get me on the right combination of meds, but they've done that pretty successfully now too. So it's like I'm a new person, really. I mean, and my friends have been amazed.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're so much better.
A lot of people say that they are kind of denying it or didn't want to accept it and kind of pushing it away. And when things kind of hit rock bottom, then they were diagnosed. And the diagnosis made them feel terrible about themselves. And that was the really low point. But you said that you kind of had it figured for a while. And then when you finally were there getting help, that was like a positive, good turnaround.
Yeah.
Which is great. How did you cope with it before you had professional help, and how do you cope with it now? And so very curious, because you said you kind of understood that you had these problems for a long time, but it's changed a lot since you went through therapy and medication and stuff like this.
Yeah. Well, before I got help, I didn't cope with it very well. I was severely depressed a lot of the time. My PTSD was out of control. I was just a walking trigger. Quality of my life was not very good at all. I had problems with work. I had problems keeping a job. After I got fired from that one job, it was really a hard time.
Is the way you cope with things different than how you did then?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I've come a long way with being able to think more clearly and be more balanced emotionally. I mean, I still have my ups and downs, but overall, I'm more of an even keel, so I can think more logically. And I can notice, I can be aware when I start having a problem. And then I can, you know, kind of process it and, you know, maybe talk to a friend or my therapist about it and get help with how to deal with things. So I just don't even have, well, I do, but very much rarer that I have a big blow up. Like, I used to just be, like I said, a walking trigger.
Bomb.
Just yeah.
Walking. Go off.
Yeah. It was really difficult to cope with that, because it was just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said a bipolar and PTSD. So is there things that people assume about those things that are wrong?
When people, there's been a couple of times where people have found out that I'm mentally ill, and then they talk more to the people sitting next to me than me. Like if I can't, as if I can't function or something, and, you know, I mean, I used to not function well, but now that I got help, I'm way better. So, yeah, they just look at you funny sometimes if they find out that you have these conditions. And I just don't let it bother me anymore, because I'm better and I know I'm better. And that's what is important. The quality of my life has improved a lot. So I'm just grateful.
That is Jenna, a member of Compass House, Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford, talking to Remington Jarvie at the house. Compass House Executive Director Elizabeth Hazelwood joins us in the studio once again. Always good to see you. That part at the end where she was talking about how when people find out she's mentally ill and then they talk to the person she's with, that must be common, the sense of like, oh, now I don't know what to say to you.
Absolutely. It happens all the time. And when we go advocate for our members, that is exactly what happens. I sit down next to one of our members and people instantly start talking to me, even though I'm there as a support. It's the person that deserves the eye contact and to be treated as a human.
You mentioned, just as we're coming up toward the end of the piece, just talking amongst ourselves in the studio here about a self-stigma that comes with people who are suffering with mental illness.
Absolutely. We as a society, unfortunately, stigmatize people that are living with mental illness. And even if we don't mean to, and then when a lot of our members have shared that the hardest thing was to see themselves in a new light once they got the diagnosis, because they had their own preconceived notions and now trying to figure out what that looks like for them. And, you know, it is tough when you see yourself one way and then a label doesn't change who you are, but innately society looks at you differently, and it's terrible.
So they have to work around the judgments that they once had about other people, applying them to themselves.
Absolutely. And then all of a sudden, you're not any different than you were yesterday, but now you have this thing that is labeling you, and you have to figure out what that means for you. And it's not easy, because society does put so many just bottom line stigmas around mental health, and trying to get through the symptoms and now a diagnosis, and then trying to get over your own stigmas about how you've always seen, you know, people that are living with mental illness. It's tough.
We've talked a lot about diagnosis in Compass Radio segments, about the importance of getting it right, and then you have to figure out which medications might work and what the balances on those are. And so but I wonder, when Jenna was talking about things like bipolar 1 and complex PTSD, these are gradients I hadn't heard before. So even within each condition, are there lots of different shades?
Yes, absolutely. And it's a little bit different. Mental health medications are not quite the same as, you know, if you have diabetes, you take this, it lowers your blood sugar. It's a trial and error when it comes to psychotropic medications, and getting it right sometimes takes years.
She talked about going to JCMH, which I decoded to Jackson County Mental Health, and I just wonder about public funding for mental health and trends you have noticed in your time working with mental illness, and where things are going. Is it improving any? I know with Obamacare, we began to treat, in theory anyway, mental health on par with physical health.
Well, and I will say Oregon definitely has more of a focus than a lot of other states, which is great. They're looking at not just traditional mental health treatments, but also preventative care, to where it's not set up for a crisis. Because the reality of it is overwhelming. There are more people living with mental illness every day. And CDC says by 2020, it's going to be the largest single disability facing the United States. And so we're not equipped as a society to handle that. And so meeting people where they're at and getting recovery that people need for mental illness is more and more and more important. And that's why things like clubhouses are becoming more prevalent throughout the state of Oregon.
Do we know why there's more mental illness? Does anybody have a theory?
I don't necessarily think that there's more mental illness. We are just now in a place where we can talk about it, and people are feeling more comfortable getting diagnosis. And also, people are beginning to be able to see behavioral health as a medical condition and treating it as such.
So when you have a friend say, hey, this is what's been happening to me, then it could encourage you to say, oh, well, I've had that too.
Absolutely.
So let's come back to the piece that we ran actually before we got into the Compass Radio segment about police and mental health. And as we talked about this again off microphone, you were mentioning that Jackson County at least has a commitment from all the police agencies to make sure that people do have some kind of training in this area.
Yes, there's crisis intervention training, which is a 40-hour course that is available to help people interact with people that are in mental health crisis and address it appropriately. The reality of it is that segment was exactly right. Our police force is often ill-equipped to handle mental health crisis, and that's not what they're trained for, but they're the ones that are responding to those calls.
Which is really, it's going to be handcuffs, guns drawn, things like that, where this is pretty much exactly the opposite, I would think, of what somebody in a mental health crisis needs.
Absolutely. That, oftentimes simply law enforcement, just because of who they are and what they represent, can trigger people and remind people of past trauma. And so having officers trained makes a huge, huge difference. And having people at least being able to understand the signs and hopefully coming about it in a more compassionate and human way is so important. And so people don't end up in jails, where people end up with actually the treatment that they need, because so many people end up in jail due to mental illness, and that's not the treatment that they need.
No,
and it's not fair to our—
confinement, not the way to go, yeah. All right. A lot to talk about mental health now and always. So we'll come back and talk about it again next month in another edition of Compass Radio, with produced in conjunction with the folks at Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford, where Elizabeth Hazelwood is the executive director. Remington Jarvie did the interview. Elizabeth, always good to have you here.
Thank you.